Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. You are going there, aren't you? Now that you know how to get to my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, of course you're going to go there. I mean, why would you not do that, right? And so anyway, when you get there, I'm assuming you're going to be there. When you get there, if you haven't already, I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter. And I hope you'll also check out our blog, which you can also subscribe to. And we have the technology available to you for free right there to do that. So check that out and all the other things that are there on our site just for you for free, thanks to our great corporate partners. We appreciate them and we hope you do. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Hello.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, I can see that. I can see how it would be like a dream come true, right, Joan?
Sense the excitement in my voice.
Right? Yes, I'm sensing it right now, Joan.
Oh, that's good.
Did you have a trivia question? You said you had a trivia question.
I was very interested in what you said about Rotary, and I know Rotary
a
little bit, but not real well. And I just have never understood why it's called Rotary.
It's an odd name, isn't it?
Yes.
It's an odd name for a great organization. Here's the deal. I've been a Rotarian now for, I guess I'm in my 15th or 16th year, I think, because I've got 15 years of perfect attendance, so I guess that means I'm in my 16th year. Anyway, when Paul Harris, who's an attorney in Chicago back in the early part of the 20th century, when he was getting together, he wanted to get together with his friends and people he knew and to talk about business and to share referrals and that kind of thing and just to sort of see what they could do together. And so he identified five friends, and what they would do is once a week they would meet at each other's office and just visit and talk about business and talk about what was going on in the marketplace and you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And so because they would rotate to each other's office, they came up with the idea of Rotary.
I had no idea.
The Rotary Club.
Oh.
Yeah. And the wheel became the sprocket, so to speak, if you've seen the Rotary symbol, the sprocket, the wheel,
right.
the Rotary wheel became the symbol. And if you don't mind, Joan, I'd like to point out a couple of things on Rotary's birthday that a lot of people may not realize. There are a lot of great.
Sure, I'd like to learn more about this.
Well, it really is interesting, and there's some direct connections to everyone listening right now. There are a lot of great civic organizations out there: the Kiwanis, the Lions, the Exchange Club, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of great organizations out there. Civitan Club, that's another one. I was actually a member of many, many years ago. But there's no other international civic organization like Rotary. Rotary does so much around the world. And here's one example, Joan. You've probably seen the news releases that polio has been eradicated in the Western Hemisphere.
Yes.
Well, typically what happens is that gets released by one of the national health organizations. But what people don't realize is that project was driven by and largely funded by Rotary International.
Yeah, see, I never knew that.
Funded by individual Rotarians in their clubs, giving a little bit of money every week so that could happen. And the goal is to eradicate polio worldwide. And
right.
About 3 or 4 years ago, there was one day there was one day in India where millions of little children were inoculated for polio in one day. Millions in one day.
Wow. That's amazing.
And that's going on all over the place. And the only I just want to say one more thing.
Sure.
Folks, Rotary is a big deal in America. It's a huge deal in other countries, especially third world countries. Joan, I've been in a third world country with my Rotary pin on, and I've had people walk up to me and thank me.
That must be a wonderful feeling.
Well, you know, I didn't do anything for them, but the Rotary was the symbol for them, because to them, the Rotary International had dug a well for them, had helped them build a clinic,
Right.
Maybe had one of the things, big things Rotary does is doing right now in Mexico, especially, is a cleft palate surgery initiative.
Oh, I've read about that. That's huge.
To take care of these little children in Mexico. That's a big Rotary initiative.
Yes.
So anyway, happy birthday, Rotary. Thank you for letting me get that message out, Joan. I think it's an important one. And folks, next time you see someone with a Rotary wheel, you don't have to thank them. Just tell them that I told you about them. All right, let's get to the Kiplinger letter. Joan, what's the news today? The lead is about housing. Are we going to have a bubble, Joan?
Well, no. I mean, I don't think things are going to fall apart completely, but things are, I guess the way to put it is things are cooling off, not as white hot as they have been in certain markets.
I saw something the other day about housing starts being up a little bit. Maybe it was just a certain area. Maybe it was a certain, I just saw a quick little blurb.
Well, see, that's the thing about this housing market is it's not one housing market, as you know. It's a dozens
who's been
and
saying
dozens
that?
Of them.
Who's been saying that since Mr. Greenspan started talking about
a
bubble?
We both have.
Exactly. We've been saying, folks, there is no such thing as there is no national real estate marketplace.
Hey, and given where I'm at right now in the Washington, D.C. area, no one knows that better than myself.
The artificial economy up there
with
the government pumping all the dollars in.
Right.
That's exactly right. Well, yeah, because your values are going up, aren't they?
Right.
But really, seriously, the things are going to be, things are cooling off a little bit, and they probably needed it to, didn't they?
Well, I think they couldn't continue the way they had been going, certainly.
I'm not even sure, have we even heard any news about any kind of a devaluation? Have any three square blocks of condos in Miami collapsed or anything like that, Joan?
Actually gone down. Well, I've read about folks who bought condos speculatively in hot areas, mm-hmm. such as the Florida coast, and they are now having to sell those condos for less than they paid. But you have to figure that the price they paid was just unbelievably inflated at the time.
Mr. Greenspan, back in the dot bomb era, Mr. Greenspan reminded us of something called the greater fool theory.
I like to hear that.
Which is where you buy a condo, you pay too much for it because everybody's excited about buying these condos, and so you buy it, pay too much, because and your intention is to flip it to a greater fool.
Right. Oh, I.
and then all of a sudden you find out that you're the greater fool.
You're the greater. There is no greater fool than you.
If you're in a poker match and you don't know who the mullet is, you're the mullet. In this case, you were the mullet. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. A little more real estate, and then we're going to talk about some economic forecasts right after these messages with Joan Pride. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, the big news, we're talking about housing. That's the lead story in the Kiplinger letter this week. We're talking about housing and the relative impact that it's going to have on the economy. I think, and you guys point this out, basically, and I'd like to get you to elaborate a little bit, is the impact on the economy, not of the lack, not of any kind of a crash or a bubble bursting or real estate values, you know, devaluing all that much, as much as it is just the diminishing of refis, diminishing of refinancing, and people sucking the equity out of their homes and then spending that money on stuff. I think that's the biggest impact. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you're right. I think that's where you're going to see the impact, certainly.
But that has nothing to do, I mean, it has something to do with real estate, but it has nothing to do with real estate values. It's unconnected to the bubble.
Right. Well, I mean, you had to figure that. I mean, values, of course, have been stoked in some areas, as we've talked about, mm-hmm. by speculation and just frenzied buying, certainly in the Washington, D.C. area and others, where I'm sure other parts of the country have not seen this kind of frenzy, even though they've seen their values maybe go up steadily. But with interest rates going up, you've got to have kind of a pause here, I would
mm-hmm.
think. but not necessarily crash.
Well, that's exactly right. But when you got, well, see, what you've got is you've got a pressure cooker thing going on there. You got values not going up as much. If in fact, maybe, you know, to in a market where prices have gone up maybe 10% a year, for them to now go up 2% a year, that feels like deflation to them.
Right.
So you got that.
Right.
And then you got higher interest rates, and that's what you call between a rock and a hard place.
Yes, exactly.
And so when you got that kind of a situation, that slows down the refinancing. The rates are up, so you're not going to be able to, you know, the payments are going to be too high. They don't justify refinancing. And you guys point out that people, because of that, you know, a lot of people were refinancing their houses not to spend the money in a silly way, but to remodel their homes, to upgrade their homes.
Exactly.
Add pools and
right.
like you know, and of course you guys, you know, you guys built an airport in your backyard there, right? for your private jet, John.
There
I know you
go.
That.
Sure.
The other thing that I want to talk about, Joan, is the impact of the middlemen on the real estate prices. You guys do a great job of covering that at the bottom of page one. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, this is interesting. And by middlemen, of course, we're talking about real estate agents and brokers. And when you sell a house, there's usually a 5 to 6%, I think it's usually 6% commission on the sale. And there's a real kind of battle going on here because you have websites and other companies that are trying to capitalize on that by undercutting this middleman. Now, the real estate organizations are very strong in most states, so it's very hard to do this. But there is kind of this guerrilla warfare going on. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, I can tell you how it's going to play out.
Oh, tell me.
I already know how it's going to play out.
Oh, good.
It's going to play out the same way it played out for travel agents who had their world changed because technology came in, created some efficiencies.
Right.
And the consumer who did some of the work and used some of those efficiencies reaped a financial benefit.
Right.
Same thing is going to happen to real estate agents and brokers and the whole real estate, that whole part of the real estate industry that happened to stockbrokers.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let me just finish that one point.
That's
all right. Online stock trade right now. You don't have to go through the stockbroker sitting downtown.
Right.
I mean, my point is not that there's anything wrong with that, but consumers have choices now. You can still go through your travel agent to get a ticket. You can still go through your stockbroker downtown to buy stock. You don't have to. And if you don't do it, if you don't use those services, you don't pay as much money. And so the same thing's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's just that the real estate lobby is a lot stronger than these other guys are, I guess, these other industries. But in time, the efficiencies that technology offers to home buyers, those savings will ultimately be passed on to the consumer. And I say the sooner the better.
Well, I have no argument with that, but I wonder if it'll take a little longer because, as you point out, the real estate lobby is so strong because, remember, you're talking about state laws that protect the real estate industry in a lot of cases, and those would have to be overturned in many states.
They will be. And now, notice I didn't say it would happen this year.
I noticed that.
But there will be. But here's what's going to happen, Joan. There will be a Supreme Court case. That will be where a law in West Virginia or you know Wyoming will be brought to the Supreme Court and there will be a case like that and it will be struck down and that state will no longer be able to protect their agents. Not that they can't charge 6% if they want to, but if they charge 6%, they've got to give services beyond what you could get if you did some of the work yourself and only wanted to pay 2%. Consumers deserve to have choices. Right now, they don't have many choices when it comes to real estate.
Exactly.
And so this is not a matter of whether I like it or not. This is what's going to happen.
It's reality.
Joan, there's no question about it. It's just going to happen. But it is going to take longer. But you guys point out that this is one of the reasons why housing prices have gone through the roof is because every time a transaction happens, this built-in 6% commission raises the price that much.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's not just Kiplinger, folks. A lot of people are saying that. This is getting a lot of attention. And those of you who are in the real estate industry, I'm not picking on you. I'm just talking about reality. Look at what's already happened. That's going to happen to you. Get ready. Gird your loins and come up with ways to add value. And if you want to charge 6%, earn that 6%. 29 after. Stay with us. I'll be right back.
This is Bad Boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
We're back in this 34 after the hour. Thank you for joining us. We are nationwide. Actually, we're worldwide. If you throw in the internet, and for all we know, we may be galactic. Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And my story is that there's a Romulan spaceship picking up picking up our signal over subspace frequency across the galaxy there, Joan.
That's galactic, huh?
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's exactly right. Joan, you guys have a really interesting little table here on page one. Current forecast for GDP growth, 05 over 06 over 05.
Mm-hmm.
Canada's looking good, going up a couple of points, up to a little over 3%. That's good news. That's, Canada is our number one trading partner, isn't it, Joan?
Well, then that's very good.
Isn't that right? Aren't they our number one trading partner?
Yes, I believe so.
I believe that's right, one or two. So that's good. And even if it's only 2 points, Joan, you're projecting that it's going to be over three, which is really strong. And even if we don't like the number, we got to like the trend.
Oh, no question about it, sure.
How
do you not like that number? That's a good number.
I know it. No, I mean only 2 points, I guess is what I meant.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The Eurozone, I'm glad to see this, Joan. You know, we've been picking up on Europe. Because they deserve it.
but I knew you were going to say that.
We've been picking on them because they deserve it. But the other thing is, I've been picking on them because they've had their head in a dark place, and they need to get their head out of a dark place and pay attention to what's going on in the world. And you guys are saying, Kipling are saying, that the Eurozone, and I'm assuming this is old Europe and new Europe, is going to go up by about 5%. 5 points to almost 2%.
Boy, that's good news, because we've been saying they need to kind of carry some of the load here.
We need them to help us.
Right.
The world needs them to help. Mexico is growing. The economy is growing. China off a little bit, but my God, it's been going like crazy. I'm glad to see China easing up a little bit, frankly. Japan, not so much.
Well,
they just can't get their stuff together over there, can they? I mean, they're not in a recession anymore, Joan.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I know it doesn't look good, but it's they're going from 2.3% in 05 to 2.2 in 06.
That might be like a mild recession.
Now, we don't like the trend, but I'm glad to see that they're at least, you know, around 2%.
Japan has been they've been in a funk for over 15 years now.
Yeah. That's true.
The UK, England is going to stay about the same, but they've been doing pretty good at over 3%. South Korea has got a big jump. That's an interesting country, South Korea, John.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they have a dynasty in the short track skiing in the Olympics. They've won just about all the golds over there. Besides that, Joan, did you know that country, the nation, hardwired every house in South Korea for broadband?
No kidding.
Did you know that?
Ooh,
every
no,
household
I did not.
In Korea, South Korea
Jeez.
Has broadband and has had for 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Now, my question is, I wonder if that contributed to this spike in their growth.
You have to wonder.
You guys are projecting 4.6. So that's good
pretty
news.
Hot.
India is doing about the same, but it's growing at about 7%.
You don't want them to do any more, I don't think.
Right. And Brazil's looking good.
Yes.
Now, why do we mention all these different countries, Joan? The trend for just about everybody is up, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a
absolutely good
sign, isn't it?
Oh, no question. Well, we keep talking about this global village, so it is very important.
More and more countries are trading with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The broadband connectivity is becoming more diffused around the globe. There's so many good things happening. Joan, we've got all these bad things happening. The war on terror, these idiots running around blowing people up. We got a lot of challenges in this world. But while all that's going on, Joan, the global economy is starting to gel and there's opportunity is emerging for lots of people that didn't have opportunity before. And Joan, I tell you, from a macro standpoint, I'm very excited about what's happening in the global marketplace.
Right. Yeah, I think you should be.
I'm very excited about it. And yeah. I want to remind folks something I've said many times before. When we talk about doing business with China, doing business with South Korea, doing business with Brazil, you know, pick one. Pick an enemy that we, you know, former enemy we might be doing business with now. Frederick Bastiat in 1850 or so said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Ah.
And that's one of the reasons I'm excited about what's happening. Joan, the economy, over on the economy, you guys are saying there are going to be two more rate hikes by the Fed this year.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's what we think.
Don't be sorry. That's right on, you're right on track with my prediction, Joan.
Oh, so okay. That, well, then we're not sorry.
So
okay.
that makes you very prescient and very accurate, right?
Yes.
Quick break, 20, no, it's, yeah, it's 22. That's right. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're going to be right back with our good friend Joan Pride. We've got a lot more to come. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust and senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And they have some outstanding publications that I want to make sure you know about. Of course, their website is outstanding, kiplinger.com, just like it sounds, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R. And also, and put a .com on the end of that, folks, and there's a lot of free stuff there. If you subscribe to any of their publications, though, Joan, does any publication subscription get you into the bowels of the website?
I think so. I think
know
that's
if you
true.
Subscribe to yeah. the letter, you get into the forecast section,
yeah.
which is absolutely dynamite.
Right.
The Kiplinger letter is weekly, three biweekly letters. In addition, the agriculture letter. Which we thank you for supporting the great farmers, those brave people out there. And also California. We don't care about the fruits and nuts, folks, but just teasing. California, just teasing. And then, of course, the tax letter, right, for all those
you
people
bet,
who,
that's my favorite.
All those exciting people who live in the world of tax.
Right.
And
we are
so
exciting.
The gray suit people.
Right.
And then there's that magazine.
That's right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And that's on newsstands, or you can go to the Kiplinger website.com and Kiplinger.com and subscribe, or they can call a number. And I bet you got a number, Joan.
It's even toll-free. It's 800-544-0155.
What a deal.
Yes.
And don't forget to ask them for that 30-day free trial. I worked hard for that one.
Absolutely.
Joan, let's move on down and talk about corporate dividends. You guys point out, oh, by the way, before we do that, let's go back up. With that 2%, two rate hike increase that you predicted and that I predicted as well
right.
would happen this year, that's going to take prime to 8%.
8%, right.
Joan, that is bumping on the door of unacceptable for small business.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because you know what I've said before, we don't live in the world of prime interest rates, small business. We live in the world of prime plus.
That's right.
Prime plus one, two, three, four, whatever their imagination can come up with and they can justify. We love our banks. No, don't get me wrong. God bless our banks. But still, small businesses pay a lot for the money that we borrow. And whenever interest rates, when prime gets to 8%, it starts getting to be expensive. And what bothers me, Joan, is that small business owners are not creating the inflation. We're creating the opportunity. And so when we have to pay as much as we do for interest, it puts a cramp on our business first. It hurts small business owners first.
Yes.
And that we're the wrong people to be hurting first.
I would think not, yeah.
I don't know. If when I'm president, actually, I probably need to be king. When I'm king, Joan, I'm going to come up. I don't think the president could do what I think needs to be done. When I become king, Joan, I'm going to make it an edict. That nothing that you do in the country can hurt small business.
Wow.
Including interest rates.
I'll vote for you.
Well, okay.
Can you vote for a king?
Well, actually, I would have to ascend to the throne, Jones.
Oh,
so,
gee.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if voting would be involved. Okay, let's move on down and talk about dividends are creeping up. Why is that, Joan?
Well, we're
corporate
saying
dividends.
That, I'm sorry?
Corporate dividends.
Corporate dividends. We're saying that there's some strong profits there, and companies are able to pile up some cash so that they're going to be paying out a little more in dividends.
Well, this is good. Companies are just literally flush with cash.
Yeah, well, I wish they'd spend some of it.
Well, but see, the good news is, Joan, what used to happen is you know, they used to use that money to grow their business. Now they're using it to grow their business, but because the economy's doing so well, because they've been so profitable, and because tax rates are down now for dividends, 15%.
Right.
People like to get dividends. See, in the old days, companies would probably look how many years Microsoft went without ever paying a dividend.
That's right. No,
they only did it like last year for the first time.
Dividend-paying stocks have really come back, and this has been going on for a couple of years now, I'd say. But they've since Enron, I would say, dividend stocks have really come back quite a ways.
But, Joan, you said a couple of years. Do you know what the timing of that couple of years is? You know what coincided with what you just said?
No.
The reduction of interest of taxes on dividends.
There you go.
Down to 15%. That's what cost it. I think that was a big reason, and because investors said, you know what? Yeah, we want you to grow. We want you to invest in the company and grow the business so that you can grow the stock value. But you know what? Give us some of that cash. Now that we don't have to pay so much taxes, we also want some of those dividends. We want to clip some coupons. And Joan, I can't help but believe that hasn't been a major contributor to the growth of the economy.
Sure, that makes sense.
So in my world, in the world with King Blasingame, Joan, there would be no tax on dividends.
Okay,
if cutting taxes is a good thing, no tax would have to be.
That'd
be like heaven on earth, right?
I agree.
Okay, Joan, let's move on.
Let's get back to the real world now.
I was having so much fun in Blessing Game World. Okay, let's talk about some of the benefits on, some of the pressure, I should say, down at the bottom, Joan, of two, some of the pressure on defined benefits pension plans.
Right. Well, you know, there's legislation that's been kicking around in Congress, and when it finally gets passed, which we think will probably be this year, you know, underfunded plans are going to have to pay this penalty of $9 for every $1,000 that they're underfunded. There's a lot of exemptions now, and they're going to be getting rid of those. So
how rampant is underfunded pension plans, Joan?
I think it's pretty rampant.
I would have to think it would be pretty ugly.
Yes, I believe
these are defined benefit plans. These are
the old-fashioned pension plans.
20th century concoctions, folks, that really are not viable in the 21st century.
And they're going the way of the horse and the buggy whip pretty quickly.
That's right. And being replaced by the 401k, right, Joan?
Right.
Which is another element of the ownership society.
There you go.
Which tied together with HSAs, health savings accounts, and other things like that is make all creating part of the ownership society. You and I have more control over, and therefore more responsibility for our own lives. Tintail, I'm Jim Blasingame. Here are the Stones to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. Lots of good things there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. Joan Pride is our guest, and Joan, she's with the Kiplinger Letters, folks, the Kiplinger Editors, I should say. She's senior editor there at the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security guy that you have there.
Yes.
You guys asked this question. Is he in danger of losing his job? What's the story?
We're saying that his hold on his job is pretty tenuous now, which is interesting to me because I thought he was pretty well liked and respected when he took that job.
And you wrote this before the port issue came up.
Yes, even before that.
So if you had known, maybe you did, but you didn't include it in your report here, if you had known about the ports, would you, instead of saying yes, would you have said absolutely?
Well, but
is the port issue a part of his concern?
Well, I guess it's supposed to be, but in this case, from everything I've read, this is really the White House's deal. I mean, they did have an interagency committee looking at it, but that committee was headed up by the Treasury Department of all places. Which
Joan, do you think there are people out there listening who might not know what we're talking about? It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Well, it you wouldn't hurt to mention it.
Quick tour.
The company that oversees U.S. ports is supposed to change over, that the contract is now being taken away from a British company and that the U.S. wants to give it to a company owned by the government of Dubai, of the United Arab Emirates.
Right, which I have been to, by the way. Actually, the Sultan or the Emir, I should say, of that Emirate.
Yes. And there's been a huge uproar in Congress, not just the Democrats, but really the Republicans and the Republican leadership of Congress saying absolutely not, that they would vote against this. And now the president is threatening to veto any legislation that blocks this sale. So
what
it's
weird,
quite a
wacky world where the only veto the president might actually do would be on an issue like this. What a wacky world this is if that happens.
Right. And I've been reading a lot about it, and it's really hard for me to know where to come down on this one because I can see both sides of it.
It is, isn't it? No, I'm glad to hear you say that, Joan, because on the one hand, it is unseemly. I mean, that's at a minimum, it's unseemly, isn't it?
Well, it's not just unseemly. It's you have to worry about the United Arab Emirates since a lot of the 9/11 money was funneled through that country.
Right.
You have to worry. And I believe one or two of the hijackers came from there.
Well, they had residences there. They weren't
right.
They weren't natives of that country.
Okay.
But what I'm getting at is at a minimum, even for me, and I'm not as concerned about it as a lot of people, because I do see both sides of the issue. But even for me, it's unseemly that we would have. It's sort of just incongruous that we would have, a country, an Arab, I shouldn't say fundamentalist because they're not fundamentalists in Dubai, and have a country like that in charge of our ports. While we're trying to shore up our ports, maybe our ports are the weakest links that we have in Homeland Security.
Right.
So I get that part. But on the other hand, if we have allies in the Middle East, and Dubai is one of our allies against terror, if we have one of those guys, isn't it to our advantage to find a way to trust them?
Well, yes, but I predict to you that more is going to come out about this deal because there was just more on the news this morning about some secret deal that the U.S. government made with this company that they do not, for example, one of the parts of it is they do not have to have any of their business records kept in the United States. Normally, with a deal like this, you do have to have those records kept in the United States or copies of them so that if there's any questions, the U.S. government can get at them or, you know, if there's legal problems, you can get at them.
I can hear Nancy Pelosi right now. Here's her press conference today, Joan. The only people on planet Earth more secretive than the Bush administration is the government of Dubai.
Heck, the interesting thing about this, we're not just talking Nancy Pelosi. Sue Myrick, a Republican, said not just no, but hell no.
The Republicans are going nuts over this.
This is
if you like politics, folks, this is nirvana.
Yeah, but it's
a serious issue, though, Joan, isn't it?
It's a serious issue.
And this is multiple ports, right? Miami, Baltimore, Philadelphia,
New Jersey.
I've forgotten. There are several ports involved.
Yeah, quite a number.
So it'll be interesting to see how this rolls out, folks. It'll be an interesting. This may be more interesting than watching curling on the Olympics, Joan.
Quite a bit.
Hey, Joan, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
We had a lot more things to talk about. We just didn't get to them, but we'll do it next time.
Sounds good.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. She'll be back.
I will.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I haven't told you this, but when you hear me next, I'll be broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. Houston, get ready. I'm coming to see you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.